Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam. You are listening to the Asma'ul Nabi program with myself, Muhammad Bam. And online I have is Mawlana Muhammad Ali from Middleburg. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, how are you this cool morning?
Alhamdulillah, enjoying the ni'mat of winter.
Mashallah. Well, this is our last program before Ramadan kicks in.
Yes.
See, Mawlana, we can start.
Jazakum Allah. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذي علم بالقلم صدق الله العظيم. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon His most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah Ta'ala for the numerous bounties and blessings He has bestowed upon us. And we ask Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to make us aware of these blessings and to acknowledge them and to make shukr and express gratitude for them. Those which we can see, those which we cannot see, those that we are enjoying and those that we are sometimes finding a bit difficult to endure, they are nevertheless blessing of Allah. For example, when people become ill, it is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a ni'mat of Allah. My Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, other day in his dua, he said a very beautiful thing. He says, oh Allah, those people who are unable to bear this particular ni'mat, can change it with another ni'mat. But it is a ni'mat, nevertheless, it is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah in His wisdom knows why He has given different forms of blessings and ni'mat. All we need to know is whether we understand it or not, we must at all times be making shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And yes, there's nothing wrong in saying, oh Allah, this is one blessing which I thank you for, but I am too weak, oh Allah, change it to a better blessing, and then can be helped, alhamdulillah. So everything is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must just have in our heart the consciousness and the humility to accept and acknowledge and never ever forget Allah. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you make shukr, I will definitely increase you in all forms of goodness, inshallah. Allah knows what is best for us. Alhamdulillah, we are discussing the beautiful names of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are right at the end of the series of the name. It went into a lot of series of the name Al-Muallim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the masterful, the expert teacher, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have looked at various aspects. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan is here. After Ramadan, we have one more aspect to cover, inshaAllah, on the teaching aspect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name, Al-Muallim, how he taught. And thereafter, inshaAllah, we'll go on to another name, inshaAllah. Allah Ta'ala honor us to be connected to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every way, and so that we can continuously make his durood to praise him and fulfill his rights. So we have discussed last week a beautiful aspect relating to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's consideration for providing knowledge for the ladies, and we went into some details. This week we are going to discuss Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowing and encouraging the use of writing as a means of educating. Now that is something which is a given. Normally it is taken for granted. But of course, writing is part of education and part of the educational process where people are writing at all times. But before a person can actually start writing, it is a skill on its own to be able to write. If we go back to our days as youngsters, when we were in school, right, grade 1 and before that, there wasn't all this grade 0 and double 0 and R and all those things. There was a thing called a nursery school. Half of us never went to that. But yes, when we were in grade 1, for example, many of us, then we were taught how to write. In fact, we were taught how to use a pen. In fact, we were taught how to distinguish between the different pens. So maybe in the grade classes, we were allowed only to use pencils to improve and to help us to be able to write at that time. Then as we came into higher classes, Now we are allowed to use pens. That's how it used to be in the good old days. Then we used to write what we used to call loose hand. That means letters without joining them. Then came cursive writing. And now, you know, we were in higher classes. We were taught how to write cursive. So we find that it is taken as granted that writing is a part of education. But it is a skill and a talent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. There are those people who writing shame. You feel I'm sorry. They can't write till today. They write, but their writing is terribly illegible. That has got something to do with the brain, it is mentioned. And there are others, but they are, mashallah, very good in other things. Normally people make a joke, you know, with the doctor's handwriting, the more ugly the handwriting, they say, you know, you're going to become a very good doctor, but that's on the lighter side. But generally, we find that some people, they write exceptionally beautiful. They write so beautiful. But when it comes to memorizing and storing and preserving information, they can't do it. So what we are saying is that it is a skill and a gift that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some write very beautiful, some are very beautiful calligraphers, some are very beautiful sign writers, some write very beautiful in different ways, and some poor people just can't come right with their handwriting, no matter what they try, and we must not stress them out in the teaching field. When it comes to teaching, all we must teach them is write legibly. Write legibly, especially those who are in the higher classes and they are going to matric and so forth. And when the papers go for marking, then those markers in the marking center are flying through your papers. And they're not going to sit and break their head over whether this is an A or a B or a D or a R or a U or a W or a M. They need to mark. So we keep on telling our children, write legibly. Understand that, you know what, somebody else is marking and you need to get a mark. You need to achieve. And if your writing is not good, you are going to lose out on marks. So all this has got to do with writing. Now when it comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in as far as a teacher who used or who allowed writing, one thing allowed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the title of Al-Ummi. Yes, Allah honored him. That Allah ta'ala kept away from him the science of how to read and how to write. And this is one of the greatest gifts that Allah ta'ala gave Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just like how Allah gave him one of the greatest gifts of calling him Al-Abd, servant. Servant normally is regarded as someone who is low and down. No. In the case of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's the highest certification of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the highest accreditations in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says he is my servant, that means he is perfect in as far as his ibadat is concerned. In the same way, Allah honored him with the title of Al-Ummi, that Allah withheld from him the science of reading and writing, the art or the talent or whatever you want to call it, the skill of reading and writing. Why is this an honor for him? Because then, not having this skill, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the world such gems and jewels of knowledge and of recognition of Allah ta'ala and of information and of various other things that till today and till the day of Qiyamah, mankind is just picking up and benefiting and coming to know and are benefiting from that knowledge, and without having learned how to read and write. If Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did this, that means he is a chosen servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was directly taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So, that is an honor. Now when you look at writing, obviously, writing as it is understood is done by a pen. Today we find with sophisticated devices and with the technology having advanced to such great levels, writing is taking different forms. You know, after the pen, initially people used to write with the fountain pen, and before that they used to write with the quill pen, and before they used to write with basically the point of a feather. If you look at the olden times pictures, you'll find the fellow sitting there dipping the feather, the point of the feather, the quill, into the ink, and he's writing with that. So the pen has developed and writing has developed, the way of writing has developed, and then it went into the typewriter, and then it went into computers, which is a different form of a typewriter, obviously, because from there we find pressing of buttons came about, and today everybody is holding a phone in his hand and is really texting. And subhanallah, we find writing has now gone so advanced that you create a thing called speech recognition. So what you speak onto the computer or into the computer, for example, then that thing just transcribes itself in the form of writing. So that writing is taking place without you pressing any buttons, subhanAllah. And this is all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's gift to us. But nevertheless, whether it's a typewriter, whether it's a computer, whether it's a quill pen, whether it's a fountain pen, whether it's a Parker pen, whatever kind of a pen it is, the fact of the matter is that it is a great ni'mat and a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to write and to have a pen. You know how important it is when you are standing in the airport queue, for example, and you have to fill in some information, and your flight is about to take off, and you haven't filled in some information, and you don't have a pen, and the fellow next to you has a pen at that time, you say, "Bye, can I please borrow your pen quickly, man?" Or you have to write down a phone number. Such a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a pen. That is why we find on the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spoken very highly of the pen. In the one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on the pen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun." So there we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam on the pen. So this might be a very, very great thing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having taken a qasam on it. And elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions that the pen is a medium and a means whereby people learn and acquire knowledge. He says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من ألق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم اقرأ read وربك الأكرم and your Rabb is most kind الذي علم بالقلم he taught man by the means and the medium of a pen. So here we find that pen is mentioned here. So the one pen, according to the Mufassirin, the first one where Allah takes a qasam, is referring to the pen that was one of the first things that was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to a hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded the taqdeer of makhluk, of the humankind, 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And that recording took place by a pen, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen, and then he commanded the pen, uktub, write. And the pen asked, "What should I write?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Write taqdeer." And then obviously whatever the taqdeer was, is the knowledge of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then enabled the pen to write, and so the pen wrote. So that is the pen Allah ta'ala is taking a qasam on. And some scholars say, no, it's just generally the pen. And the other pen, which we refer to in Surah Iqra, which is used specifically for people to acquire knowledge, and is a very beautiful poem that is mentioned by one of the poets. He says, إِذَا أَقْسَمَ الْأَبْطَالُ يَوْمًا بِسَيْفِهِمْ وَعَدُّوهُ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُ الْمَجْدَ وَالْكَرَمْ كَفَى قَلَمَ الْكِتَابِ عِزًّا وَرِفْعَةً مَدَى الدَّهْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَقْسَمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. That he says, when the brave people are one day going to take an oath on their swords, that, you know, with our sword we did this and we did that, and they count the sword from among those things that had granted them, or who have granted men honor and respect, where they went to their swords and they conquered and they overcame, and whatever it must be through which they acquired via their swords. Then he says, "Kafa qalamul kitab izza wa rifa." Then for those who are writing with a pen, it is sufficient that the pen itself is given greatness and it is given honor and elevation, the pen in comparison to the sword. Why? Because forever and ever, madad dahr, verily forever and ever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qasam has been on the pen. So each time when Allah says, noon wal qalam, the qalam is something on which Allah has taken a qasam, and this qasam is continuous. So he says, therefore, while the sword might be very, very great for acquiring knowledge, the pen is much more greater because Allah ta'ala had taken an oath on it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam therefore encouraged the use of the pen. We look at one or two hadith. Al-qalamu lisanu al-yadi. The pen is the tongue of the hand. Subhanallah. The pen is the tongue of the hand. Wasafiru bamir. And it is the messenger of the inner thoughts of a person, what is hidden inside him. The pen. So sometimes a person can't talk. You know, we say a person is mute, for example, and he wants to write something. So he puts whatever message he wants to by writing. So he says, Al-qalamu lisanul yadi wa safiru dhamir. ومستودع الأسرار ومنبت الأخبار وحافظ الآثار. And it is the treasure of secrets, the pen. It is the place where in the pen the treasures of knowledge and so forth are hidden. Until the pen does not write it, it will not come out. And it is the place where knowledge and information is kept, the pen. And it is the protector and the preserver of the previous signs and of previous things and of whatever else it might be. The pen does all those type of things, subhanAllah. So it is very important that we understand and make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for this great ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And at all times, you know, when you are sitting on the phone and somebody wants to tell us something, say, just hang on, brother, wait a little bit from my pen here. And the pen is not writing, then another one you put out and the other one is also not writing, then we know what a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a pen is. So my brothers, respected listeners of Radio Islam, it is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when we look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have spoken about the virtue of the pen and of writing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used and allowed the use of a pen primarily, which is very important, to record the wahi. We know that the wahi came down, it was revealed by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The wahi was not given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as it was given to Musa alayhi salam, for example, on the alwah, which the Quran makes a reference to in another part. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the wahi directly from Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And he committed whatever he received in terms of revelation to memory, and he had people sitting around him, scribes, people who had acquired the art of writing and the skill of writing. You must remember, in those days, everyone did not know how to write. So if someone knew how to write, he was what we will call paralika admi. He was a qualified, he was a learned person, because he knew how to write, and their skills were in much requirement at the time, were much needed, and they were valued, great value was attached to people who knew how to write. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a group of the noble sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in who used to then commit to paper, write down and preserve and record the wahi that came down, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to summon them that the revelation has come down, just make a note of this and write it down. And in this way we find that this has today enabled us many, many years later to have the Quran in the form that we have the Quran among the scribes, those people who used to write. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was receiving the wahi, was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an. Allah honored him. Today we find the munafiqeen got a lot to say against him, but the Quranul Kareem was also written down by Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman, Sayyidina Ali, Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit, Sayyidina Uwayy ibn Ka'ab, Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awam, Sayyidina Khalid ibn Sa'id, and a lot of others, including Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. All these people, in shifts or in times, in groups or singly, individually, collectively, were noting down, were writing down the wahi that came down to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as he read it and dictated it to them, they very efficiently recorded it and preserved it with the pen on paper or on whatever was available at that time in the form of writing material, whether it was leaves, whether it was parchment, or whatever it was. That's a different discussion on its own. So from here we learn that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam valued the skills of those who knew how to write. And besides the wahi being written down, you must remember, there were also ahadith that were written down. Sahaba sometimes used to come, the Bedouins, for example, used to come from out of town, and they were given some advices by Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they used to say, can this thing please be recorded for us? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, write it down. So we find there was ahadith that were written down, but the actual practice of writing every hadith and compiling it, as we have the books of hadith in our mutts in this day and age, Bukhari Sharif, etc., that came at a much later stage. But there were copies of ahadith that were written down in the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So writing was something that was used. We find, let us look at some of the ahadith. In Abu Dawud Sharif, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, he says, I used to write down everything what I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to memorize it. So he says, the Quraysh stopped me from doing so, and they said, تَكْتُبُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ تَسْمَعُهُ. You will write down everything that you hear from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ورسولullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam basharun yatakallamu fil ghadabi wa sallam. That sometimes, fil ghadabi wa rida, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes talks and he says certain things in anger, and sometimes he says certain things when he's not angry, when he's in a state of happiness and joy. So I went to write everything. So amsaktu anil kitab, ay al kitab. So he say, I then stopped noting down all these things. فَذَكَرْتُ ذَٰلِكَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. But I mentioned this to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that these people are saying, how can I be writing everything? What if you say something in a state of anger? What if you say something in a state of joy? فَأُمَا بِأَصْبِعِهِ إِلَىٰ فِيهِ. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gestured with his mubarak finger to his mouth, and he said, اُكْتُبْ. Carry on writing. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ إِلَّا حَقٌّ. Then he pointed to his mouth. He said, from this mouth, nothing emanates but the truth. So, in other words, whether I'm in a state of anger or whether I'm in a state of joy, whatever I'm saying is not emotional, it's not unmindfully said, it is said consciously, and it is by Allah, it is the haqq, it is the truth. So nothing, وَمَا يَنْتِقْوَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ نَبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰهُ does speak of his own desire. So he encouraged the Sahabi to continue writing. And alhamdulillah, we find that he wrote down whatever, and that's why we look at the history of how Tadwinul Hadith, that is compilation of Hadith, took place. We find that there are some incidents mentioned about this particular Hadith had been noted down already at that time. It is also mentioned that in the revelation of the Quran, that those Sahaba who knew how to write, and this is an important thing to keep in mind, who knew how to write, used to memorize and then write it on paper, and they used to pass it on to the ladies who used to also memorize it. Maybe they didn't have the honor or the opportunity, rather, of being there at that time when the revelation was taking place. But immediately they committed to memory what was sent to them in a written form. And that is important to remember when you want to impress upon the disbelievers, especially the non-Muslims, how the Quran was preserved from day one, that everyone who could and memorize and who could preserve the Quran did so in whichever form. That's why the Quran which we have today has been very perfectly preserved from that time in this particular form as well. There's another beautiful hadith that has been recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah, narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He says, when Allah granted victory over Makkah to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up, who? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He stood up amongst the people. He praised Allah and glorified him. And then he said, Allah has restrained the elephants from Makkah and gave authority over it to his messengers and the believers. In other words, today we have conquered Makkah. We have basically come here and overtaken Makkah. It's like a situation of war. But that is not supposed to happen. Allah did not even allow the elephants of Abraha to come here, but Allah allowed me to come. Actually, this particular permission that has been given was only for me. It is not lawful for anyone after me. Therefore, its animals should therefore not be driven away. Its thorny trees should not be removed. And its articles that are picked up or found are not lawful except for the person who is going to announce having found them. One whose relative has been killed has either of these options. He should accept the ransom of retaliation. So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala said, except for the izkhir tree, because we use it for our graves and houses. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, except for the izkhir tree. In other words, that can be pulled out and that can be uprooted, because in the process of qabr, when they are burying somebody, making dafan, at that time to block the sand from going into the actual chamber of the qabr, you say we do pluck the trees. So then for that purpose, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed it. So there is one incident. Now we are coming to the pen. Abu Shah, a man from Yemen, stood up and said, write for me, O Rasulullah. That's what we have just mentioned now. I need it written down. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded, and he gave the order, write for Abu Shah. Write down. The narrator says, I asked Imam Auza'i, what did he mean by write for me, O Rasulullah? What did this Abu Shah want written down? What he meant to write for me? The narrator says, he was referring to this sermon that he had heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, you know what, I need this to be written down. And we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed it to be written and to be recorded. So here again we are seeing the use of writing and the use of the pen. Concluded one more hadith, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah narrates on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Juhayfa, who says, and this is a very important hadith, he says, قُلْتُ لِعَلِيٍ هَلْ عِنْدَكُمْ كِتَابٌ Have you got anything written down? قَالَ لَا إِلَّا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ I got nothing except the book of Allah. Nothing else. Or the understanding which a Muslim person has been bestowed with. أو فهم أعطيه رجل مسلم أو ما في هذه الصحيفة or whatever is written on this page. So I asked, what is written on this page here? So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, I got nothing written except ayat of the Quran and some words of wisdom and of whatever is written on this page. You hear something written there. So the narrator said, asked, what is written on this page? So he replied, laws pertaining to blood money. قلتوا وما فيها قال العقل. He says, and the matters relating to the freeing of a prisoner and that a Muslim will not be killed on account of an unbeliever. So these are some masail that have been written here. So the point here is that why he asked this to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, it was during the Khilafat of Ali radiallahu anhu, and the Munafiqeen element had already started coming around and they were making all kinds of false accusations. One of the false accusations that the Munafiqeen of the era made at that time, they were saying that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu possessed some written divine revelation which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given to him specifically. And in this hadith here, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, I have nothing except of the Quran which everybody has quoted them and these few masail. So that matter was cleared, that anybody wants to say that Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu had received some special stuff from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself refuted and rejected it. Besides this, one more point. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave da'wah to the various rulers whom he could not go and meet personally, but he wanted to give them the da'wah, we did this lesson some time back, al-da'i, he had letters written to them. So we gave da'wah through the pen. So again we can see the use of the pen and writing as a medium of giving da'wah to the people. And we find a lot of rulers then received the letters of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these are some of the examples you can give of the use of the pen and the use of writing in the process of learning and education. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala give everyone a beautiful Ramadan except and give us the best of tawfiq to do whatever is going to bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ma'alina ila al-balaag. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah Mawlana for that inspiring program. Do join us next week at the same time with the Asma'un Nabi program with Mawlana Muhammad Ali. From myself, Muhammad Bam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Daggers in their eyes with cynical smiles. Where does the road start? Where does it end? Look into their hearts, can you feel their fear? Life ain't easy when the world cares at all. From the time their eyes gaze down upon the earth, never knew where their future would belong. Step by step and hand in hand they learn to crawl. Promises we made meant nothing at all. So much joy to let on. The world that we live in makes us so vain. So little truth, so many lies. The road that we take is a fool's paradox. Open your hearts and see there's you. The road they anymore. So many cries, so many tears. Happiness is sadness, for inside within their lives. Keeping them.